It is great to have my dad here. It's my dad. Yeah, hello. Yeah, I can't preach like that now. Thanks. Yeah, it's really special. I think it's the first time that my dad will ever hear me preach. Yeah, I think so. So no pressure, but I want to say I think it was a setup from the Lord, just how it worked out for my dad to be here, because he came for a conference over the weekend in Gordon's Bay, and then he phoned me on Monday and he said they cancelled the evening session. Can he come stay by us? So we went to fetch him yesterday, and then he somewhat took off this morning as well. So he can be here, and it's in the time that we're transitioning. So it's really beautiful, and I thank the Lord for that. And I can tell you a funny story though, okay? So Ruan honored me like that now, and saying, but it wasn't always like that, okay? And I think I did challenge my parents quite a bit in me growing up, okay? So they... So one thing I really appreciate from my dad and my parents in general is they've always allowed me to follow the Lord where I felt to go. And my dad is a very clever guy. Okay, he's a medical scientist, which I understand very little of what he's doing. And I think there was subtly probably when I grew up, it's like there would have been a thing of my boy's going to be successful amongst like doctors or whatever, I don't know. And then when I pulled the card and said, I think I want to preach, I don't know how he felt in his heart, but they encouraged me to say, go. And there was probably a couple of warnings, you know, you're not going to make a lot of money and all that kind of stuff. And but the fact that they allowed me to follow the Lord is incredible. And so and funny, so one day, it was for my 21st birthday, that we were in Wellington, and I think that was the first time they saw me lead worship as well. And that morning, it was like one of those mornings where we don't have it often, but you do get it, where it's just like everything, not goes wrong, but it's wild, okay? Like manifestations and people doing somersaults in church, literally, okay, it was one of those. And I see my parents standing there at the back like, what is this? And I'm leading the worship, and it's just absolute chaos. And so funny story is that, so I asked my dad afterwards, I just found out I'm moving to Melkbos. So we came here, we sat on the beach, and I asked him, so what did you think of this morning? And he said, look, if I stayed in Wellington, I probably wouldn't have joined that church. But then the fact that they keep they allowed us to do, and so and then we moved here, and then he invited himself for this morning, which is great. That it is the Lord. And so there was something it's so funny. So when we found out that we're going to lead the congregation now, I was like, okay, I want to call my parents before we announce it here, because I don't want them to hear it via somewhere else. So we made a video call, and we're speaking, and I say, so we found Ron and Ina, they're going to move to Paul to plant a church there, and Andrew and them, Father, we should lead here. And there was honestly this moment where I thought we lost Wi-Fi connection. Like, it was this froze in the video. And I was like, hello? Like, no, we're here. We heard that. but even in that, I think it was I think it probably came as a shock, because I mean, we're on the other side of the world. But then the next morning, I got a message from my parents that said, I felt the Lord say this for you. It is the Lord. And so that's very cool. So I appreciate it. And then my dad's here this morning. So that is great. But man, what a roller coaster season it is for us as a church, okay? Good grief. It was probably one of the most, not confusing seasons, actually very clear, but just doing this, man. And so it was because like, then suddenly we lead for 3 months and we celebrate Ruan and Ina's coming back. Then we celebrate or mourn that they're leaving. And then we celebrate that we're leading again. It was this up and down thing. But the cool thing, what I want to put focus on this morning, that I believe it is the Lord. And so even Ruan shared last week, and for those of you who were at the combined com, just of what they felt God telling them to move. And it's so funny, like I believed it was God. Like Mariska and myself, like when we heard that we're going to lead, I could sense that the Lord was in it, but it wasn't like I saw three cards up in the air and the Lord said this, or these and these scriptures and these prophetic words. It was just like, I believe it's the Lord. And then we did church planters course the other night, and Will said, And the only thing before they ever moved is Pam would ask him, did God say? And my wife sits like this and she starts to write me a message in a journal like, we need to go and we need to hear what the Lord says. And I'm like, okay. And so, because I didn't have something concrete. And the problem is, when things go pear, then, and hopefully it's not, okay? But if it is a difficult season, then I can quickly go and blame. Andrew said, Ruan said. But if I have something that I believe God said, it makes a difference. Because then I can put my faith in the Lord. All right, and so now Mariska and myself, we're crying out, so please, Jesus, you need to speak because we're already announcing this thing, okay? So, and then I think I wanted to share with you just a little bit of what I thought the Lord said for us, and then we can see it's not about me, but it's about God moving us. I believe it's God calling Rwanda Inna to plant, and God calling us to lead here, and God calling us to walk deeper together. Amen? So, it is, for me personally, it was such a mixture of emotions. Like, on the one hand, it was something that I dreamt about all my life. Like, if someone asked me, what do you want to do one day? I want to lead a church. And I want to, man, I just saw people, and I shared some of that probably in the time that I've led. But it's like something you dream about. The problem with that is, my dreaming all my life is not that long. Okay, so it is like, I can put it in the words like, I've dreamt about it all my life. The problem, that's barely 25 years, okay, that I dreamt about this thing. And so when we heard it, there was like all this mixture of emotions. Like, because I said to the elders, and I didn't plan to share this, but for years, and sometimes like Grant couldn't believe it, but I was a very arrogant boy. Some of you will know it when I moved here, okay? And so there was often seasons where when I was here, okay, that I would sit here and Andrew would preach something, and it's like, yo, these guys just don't know what I can bring. It's like, if they just give me a shot. Like, that was okay. I'm telling you, that was the Lord that didn't allow that, okay? Like, for all of our sakes. But I had this thing like, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And then there came a time where it's like, please no, okay? And it's like, I don't want to do this. Like, and the other night we were at Church Planters, and Andrew again preached on faith in the little and trusting with more. And it felt like the first time that I sat on the other side of that message, where for long I was like, yeah, they just don't know, but I'm just going to keep being faithful in one day, man. And that was out of arrogance, okay, out of pride. And then I sat on the other side where the Lord did move me now, and I felt like, no, it's too early. Like, I don't want to be, like, I just want to be faithful with a little. And so there was this mixture of, like, emotions that you guys didn't find that funny. I found it funny. Kind of a thing. But anyway, I was like, Lord, I need to hear you. And so the one morning, we announced it on the Wednesday evening, and the Thursday morning, Ron and I would have met to come together and just discuss how we're going to do this going forward. And I arrive, we met here at the coffee shop at Pick-a-Pay, and I see Ron still sitting in his car. I'm 5 minutes early, so I pull on the other side, and I'm also going to sit in my car and just read before he goes. I'm waiting for him to get out, and I think he waited for me to get out. Yeah. So Ron was in his own mission with the Lord, crying in the car there, which I didn't know about. But I start reading, and I'm busy reading through Kings at the moment. And it's on there. So I'm reading 2 Kings, and the Lord, I'm just reading through the story. But as I'm reading it, I believe, yes, the Lord is just speaking to me so clearly now. So I want to go through it quickly. If you can put in 2 Kings, yes. So it says, so there's 2 guys called Elijah and Elisha. So Elijah was a prophet that we spoke about actually a while ago, that he was the one who called the fire from heaven to the altar. And he had a follower called Elisha. And so it says, the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master from you? And it kind of felt like that. And I want to say, for me, Ruan, he wasn't a master, but he really, for me, is like a father figure. It's because in Wellington, I was under him, and here. And man, I want to say, most of what I'm saying today or doing, it's just I'm trying to remember, what did Ruan tell me to do? It does feel like that, okay? And when someone said, do you know that the Lord will take your master away from you? And he said, yes, I know it. Keep quiet. And it's like, It kind of felt like that, where so many people came. Do you know that we believe it's the Lord moving around and you're going to lead? And it's like, I know, but shush. It's like, it's hard. There's a process in this, okay? And then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing at, by the Jordan. And then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and he struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side till the other, until the two of them could go through on dry ground. I mean, how crazy is that? Take your cloak, hit the river, and they walk through on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I'm taken from you." And Elijah said to him, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind into heaven. I'm just saying, I'm not expecting everyone to go in a whirlwind of fire quickly. That is not what I felt the Lord said in this, okay? And Elijah saw it and he cried, "And my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen." And he saw him no more. And then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted from the one side to the other, and Elisha went over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Now, please don't do that. But I think just in this picture, there was a lot of symbolism for me, which the Lord said, it is him calling Ruan elsewhere. And for me, there was something, it's like, man, it's like, really, back to that side of the world. And then there was a desire in my heart, it's like, Lord, at least something, maybe not even a double portion, but at least something of which is on Ruan, especially when it comes to pastoral, of your anointing. I want that, Lord. And I think just the way the Lord set it up, there was something that even we saw of a transition that happened. And I think many of the leaders, just as we were speaking, and it's not out of like the one's better or the other, but we could see that the Lord was moving us. And that the Lord's anointing, almost at least for this congregation, has shifted. And I'm saying that humbly, okay? I'm not saying this out of arrogance. But I could sense, man, it's the Lord that moved us. And it was, I think it was the grace of God, even the way that it happened for us, that we had a mini trial version for 3 months, and it went okay. and then there was a thing of that we could see the Lord was in this, and that there was a grace that moved. So I believe for us that it's they need it in Paul, and they will do amazing. And I believe we need it here, and it's the Lord moving us. He's in it. I'm just so convinced that it is not a work of a man. It is not Andrew that said, "Hey, this is a good idea, let's do it." But I believe we've heard God. And so with that, we'll be okay. And we're confident that, man, no matter whatever reasons there are, maybe for us not even to lead, if God is in it, we're going to be okay. And it's going to go well. Amen. All right. Is that cool? So that's what I felt. I'm amped to see what the Lord is going to do in us, that we can move forward. All right. So I thought I'll share this with you. So, I think there's a season for Justin in general, but for us as a church, where we had a winter season. It was hard. And last week, we repented as elders for the role we played in it. But it does feel like, man, we're moving into spring season, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. All right. So this morning, what I want to try and do is I want to just try and tie. Is everybody okay? It seems pretty heavy. Okay, that was supposed to be a good thing. But I want to try and tie together what I think the Lord is doing in us, that we can see. Because I couldn't find it, but somewhere in the Bible, there's a tribe who was known for that they could sense the seasons of what the Lord was doing. Issachar. Okay, like that. Yeah, he was a guy. Like he was known for. The sons of Issachar, it was a tribe, something like that. See, that's why I couldn't find it. But I knew it's in the Bible somewhere. But they were known for that. They can sense the seasons of what the Lord was doing. And I think it's important for us to recognize what the Lord is doing in us. Because if we just rock up here every Sunday, and it's like, hey, I wonder what's going to happen today. Offering message, some worship, some preaching, and we're going to go home. We can miss actually where the Lord is moving us. And over the past couple of weeks, there's been quite a couple of significant actions that the Lord asked of us. When we went here, Brendan spoke on forgiveness, and I heard it was wild, and that's great. Okay, I love it. And the Lord says, I want you to act to forgive. It's action to act on forgiveness. A couple of weeks in a row now, there's repentance that needs to happen, and the Lord is act upon it. But that's significant moves. And I think, not that those things ever come to an end, but I think today the Lord wants to come and almost seal the deal, and we can move forward in the freedom that he has. If we stay in, like, oh, you guys get what I'm saying? Like, if I just stay here, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, but we never move into the freedom, we miss overall. And I think the Lord wants to come and seal that deal today that we can move forward in the freedom that he has for us. So last week, we once spoke about the potter's wheel, and I do think that is an excellent picture for us, that the Lord is busy with us. And you are not the wheel, you are not the potter, but we're the clay. And the clay basically just chills there and allowed it to be shaped. And I think we're being shaped as a church and as individuals. And I wanna just commend you guys. One thing that we punted really hard this year was the different roles that without the apostolic, we will never be able to walk in what we need to walk in. And I want to say, in the week, I saw that there's 98 from us going to 412. That is amazing. Okay? I want to say that is, guys, thank you so much, because when we said it, I think we had 14 on that list. All right? That is a significant increase of people going to, which I'm very happy about. And I want to say well done for responding, because I know this, I've heard of people here taking unpaid leave. All right? I've heard people paying for one another. It's, guys, it's incredible, and we see that. And I want to say, as elders, we are super thankful. But I think, and then when I saw that in the week, I said, Lord, these guys are paying a price. I pray that it will be worth it, that you will import something into us like never before. And I believe that. And so I want to say to those of you who haven't registered, come and chat to me. We'll make a plan, but I believe it's going to be significant for us. So I want to say well done for that, for responding to when there was a call to action. All right. And I think just what the Lord has done in us now, the last while, it's been very much of like a purification season, in a sense. In the Old Testament, as you read, it says, before the Israelites were called to meet with the Lord, there were often days where they had to offer sacrifices. They weren't allowed to be with one another and touch defiled stuff. They weren't even allowed to pick up new food or whatever. And it's been a time of purification. And then they went and they met with the Lord. And it was amazing. All right, and it kind of does feel like that when I've said it often, but the last couple of weeks, okay, it's like the Lord has been pressing his finger again on numerous things that has been there for a long time, some of it for years, and he says, that thing, I want to touch, and I want you to deal with it, and I want you to either repent or forgive or respond and obey me. And as we do that, and I want to say well done for acting, guys. It's been amazing responses, okay? And as we do that, it says, Matthew 5 verse 8 says that the pure in heart shall see God. And I know that we want to see God. I know that, okay? I know when I speak to you guys, we have a desire to see the Lord. And even this morning, it came out, Lord, open our eyes that we can see you. And I believe the pure in heart, they'll see God. And that is why. Can you see what the Lord is doing in us? Cool, thanks, Ive. You on the right track. So, but the danger for us as a church, and I think that's what we want to try and prevent this morning, and there were words about this, is there's a danger for us that we can easily come Sunday to Sunday, Wednesday to Wednesday, and we can sit, and God is sowing his word into our hearts. There's people speaking, there's prophetic stuff, and do you get that the Lord is speaking? Now, and this is not, I mean, no, not necessarily everything that I'm saying now, but especially when a prophetic word comes, God says, poof. All right? That's pretty heavy if you think about it, okay? Like, the one thing that the Israelites were tuned about the most in the Old Testament is that the Lord says something and they didn't do it. All right? And there's a danger for us that God can come in this week in, week out, prophetic words, no, 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 and we walk out here and we do nothing about it. And we can become people with calloused hearts. Where the one week the Lord can convict you about having to forgive that person. And maybe, I mean, there can be different reasons. Some of it because of laziness. Some of it because of difficult. Just, it's hard. But if we don't do it, the next time for the Lord to convict you again of that is twice as hard. Because your heart has gone calloused. And I just want us to recognize that we need to choose to not be those whose heart has gone hard. Because then the Lord can use you for something else, like Pharaoh, where it says, Pharaoh's heart was hard, but then the Lord hardened it even harder, and he used him to show his glory. Don't be that guy, okay? Don't be the guy that the Lord hardens your heart that he can show his glory through you in some other way, okay? Be on the good side with a soft heart. Does it make sense? Anyone with me? All right. Cool. So, and the difficult thing with this is often, and there's a balance here. Yes, it's the work of the Lord that does it. But the vehicle that he uses is people. It's you. And so we can pray for breakthrough. We can pray for freedom. We can pray for a greater experience, I don't know, in worship or whatever. And then the Lord will ask us to do something. He's the one who brings the growth, but he asks us to respond. And so a great story for me in Matthew 13, and Murph, if you can put that up for me, is I believe that's a picture for us that I felt the Lord said. It says, and he told them many things, parables, saying, this is Jesus speaking. It says, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds. And so this is a picture for me at church, and with a community or church life or whatever. And seeds are being sown. It's the Lord dropping stuff, like either out of his words, maybe in this preach, hopefully it's the Lord speaking, prophetic words, whatever, in worship. And he says, seeds are being sowed. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And he who has ears, let him hear. And I think there's a sense where seeds are being sowed into us. But the kind of soil that it will land on, to a large degree, depends on us. How we receive the word of the Lord. And so I want to look at that quickly. And you can put up the next part. In verse 18, the first one was that it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, when the evil one comes, it snatches away what has been sown into his heart. And this is what was sown along the path. So there's sometimes, it might be some of us, but sometimes for unbelievers, people are here and the word of the Lord is sown. But because it says, you can go one back, please. It says, it falls on the ground and people don't always understand it. It's like, man, I can preach the gospel as simple as I want, and sometimes it just doesn't go in, all right? And it says, the moment you walk out here, it's like the enemy comes. It's like, whoosh, steals away whatever was being sown. And it's like seeds that just fell along the path, and the birds come, they pick it up, and it's just gone. And I think, I mean, I don't know in that one how much of a role we play, but I think we can pray for that, for unbelievers, because they themselves won't pray for that. And it's like, Lord, when we sow seeds, we pray that it will go in and it will make sense. Even if I say something hard, that it will just land. Like, wow. And that the enemy will not steal it away. All right. The second one, it says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with great joy. Now, how many of you would have seen this before? Maybe a family member or unsaved. And they come here. It's like they hear the word of the Lord and they're like, oh, yes, that's me. And you just never see them again. Anyone see that before? I've seen it time and time again with youth, okay? Like, every time. Like, come and they respond, and then we just never hear of the guy again. It's like, and I think that can be a temptation where we receive it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but he endures for a little while. But when tribulation comes or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. And man, when I think about this, I think of school. Now, I had a great group of friends at school, but in my own school, there were very few people that I honestly felt were following the Lord. And then there would sometimes, I remember Sunday evenings, some of my class friends would rock up at my church, and I would be like, this is amazing. I'm going to have friends at school who can support me, and we're going to have like a little Christian group, and it'd be okay. And we get to school on Monday, and it's like they've never been there. They responded to the Lord the previous night. I'm like, wasn't that amazing? But now their other friends are there and like, yeah, it was okay. It was like, I'm like, ah! And it felt like they left me out to dry sometimes. And it was like, what is wrong with you? And sometimes it's like where this, they receive it with great joy. But then, and we spoke about this a while ago, again about quiet time. That is rooting yourself in the Lord. That comes very much down to you. All right? Finding the Lord, choosing, I'm going to put my roots down in the Lord. But then if it's just a good idea, The next time you need to stand up before someone and actually say what you believe, or stand firm for what you believe for, quickly, gone. And I want to say this, that sometimes I always believe, man, Lord, people use this example at school. I think it was horrible. But they said, what if today there comes guys with guns in here and say, any Christians, would you stand up? And I was like, I'll do it, Lord. Well, I can't even stand up in my own class when they laugh about me when I'm a Christian, okay? And I want to say, man, if some of you think when the real tribulation comes, I'll be the one who will not fall, you need to learn how to root yourself in the Lord now and stand firm for whatever tribulation comes on account of God. And it comes in different forms, which you don't expect. Tribulation on account of the word can come in a form like you're struggling financially. And it's a cost. And the Lord's in it. And it's like, oh man, that sucks. And some people forfeit their journeys with the Lord to find money. It's on account of the word. Sometimes it can be because of persecution and people tune you. Now, I mean, I shared the story before, but once in Russia, when I was there, the things shifted. And it became a persecuted country when I was in there. I'm telling you, you think different about it. And I was there, and I was like, I'm not keen to go to a Russian prison. just being real here. And I honestly thought, what if they ask me, what clever way will I get to tell them I'm not here for Jesus? And it's like that was very real then. But in that moment, if I didn't learn how to stand firm at school when guys laughed at me, you'll never stand firm when the Russians threaten you for your belief. All right? And I want to challenge us. The key here is to be rooted in the Lord. You choose to root yourself in deep roots with God. Okay? Making sense? Everybody's all with me? Okay? And I want to say, while my dad is here, that is one thing I've learned from my dad, is to stand. Stand firm. Because I think at my dad's job, you're probably the only one as well. And my dad would often come back home. And he says, this guy and this guy, they're not following, but today I stood for what I believed. And I learned that. I was like, if you can do it, I can do it. I've learned that from you, Daddy. That is cool. And he says, as for what was sown amongst the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, I want to say, guys, I believe that this is the one for the church, which the Lord says, seed are being sown, and sometimes it can be, who if you've ever been in a meeting, and you can feel the Lord, like, convict you or presses something in your heart, and it's like, oh my heck, my whole life needs to change. Anybody? Then you walk out this door, and you're like, maybe I did it here right. Like, I probably over-exaggerated a little bit. The Lord didn't mean it. The Lord will never say it in that way. Okay? Like, maybe it's just like something. And as we start to consider it and the concerns of this world and what will others think, what will that look like when I actually start implementing that? The cares of this world comes and it chokes it. And you can come back a year later and someone can preach that exact message and it's like, ah, I don't know. That's not for me. The Lord won't do that. And it choked the word of the Lord. And I want to say, guys, as a church, this is the one that we need to be careful of. And I want to, the key for me for this is, when the Lord speaks, we need to learn to act upon it. I started getting myself into a habit, when I feel the Lord convicts me of something and I know it's God, because you know when you know it's the Lord, I write it down and I say, right there in the meeting, this is what the Lord said I should change. Then when I go out, I can't convince myself otherwise. All right? And I want to challenge you to do that. When the Lord challenges you to forgive or to repent or to whatever, Andrew often says it feels different when we sit under the anointing. And there's a guy that the Lord anointed to speak and it's like, wow, the Lord moved. But when you leave the building, life happens. But we can't just allow life to happen and now I'm like, okay, I'll work it out in my own way. If we can be a people who can learn to receive the word and act upon it, I don't think the thorns will get it right to always snuff it out. But that responsibility comes down to us. It's like, Lord, at whatever cost, whatever it looks like, if you said it, I'll do it. And the thorns can snuff it out. All right. Just see that I don't miss something here. And then the last one. I did miss something here, sorry. That's okay. I said it. Then the last one, and this is the one I desire for us as a church. It says, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word of the Lord and understands it. Now, the funny thing with that is sometimes it won't always understand it. It won't always make sense, but I think there's something as we obey, even when you don't understand, that it starts making sense. All right, so put that in there. Here's the word, and he understands that, and indeed he bears fruit and heals in one case 100-fold, in another 60-fold, and in another 30. And it's something that we can position our hearts for the amount of increase that the Lord will bring. Even good soil, there can be little fruit, there can be medium fruit, or there can just be an abundance of look at what the Lord is doing. And I want to say, like, for me, one of the cool things is I was always a very task-orientated guy. Like, this and this needs to happen in order for that to happen. But one thing, just as we led, what the Lord started doing in my heart is to see Him in you guys. How you following the Lord, and how many of you, just in the time that we've led that little bit, I've seen some of you make massive shifts for the Lord. And I could look at that and it's like, wow, look at the harvest, what the Lord is busy producing. It's not me. And I can say that confidently. One of the greatest conversations I had on Friday with Kim is, it was like, I am fully confident that what the Lord is doing in our congregation, it's not because of me. Because I don't know how. It is a work of the Lord. All right? It's Him that brings the growth. Some plows and some water, but God is the one who brings the growth. And it's beautiful for me to see just how in many of your lives, and I want to commend you guys, it is incredible to see, look at what the Lord is doing. But I believe there's more. I believe there's more. Now, I really, my prayer, and I mentioned this at the Common Wednesday, as we're coming out of this purification season, that together, with no one left behind, we will go to that place of meeting with God. And that He can come and He can speak, and things will just fall on good soil. And we're like, Lord, what is it that You want me to do with this? And we'll act upon it and we'll produce a harvest. Some of it might look like people coming in. I believe that's a harvest. Man, we need people to get saved. I'm trusting the Lord to bring people in. Okay, some of them might be spiritual fruit. Some of it might be restoration in family. I don't know what. But it can yield a harvest of rich fruit. But that does not happen when we weigh it up against the riches of this world. It's acting upon what God says and ignoring the thorns that wants to snuff it. All right. So practically, what we can do here, okay? 3 months ago, I've asked this question in church, and I'm going to ask it again because I think we've had very little people do it, so I'm going to do it again, okay? And we're going to go for it this time, hopefully, okay? I've asked this question, what do you desire for us as a church to go for it? And it was cool. I think I've heard Grant chatted to guys about it in the week. But what do you dream for us as a church? And there was this thing this morning also, what do we expect the Lord to do? Is the expectation that God can come and move amongst us this morning? It looks very do it, okay? What must I do to wake you guys up, okay? Do you desire the Lord to come and do you dream for us as a church? Do you dream? I was so bummed that the elders were away that week that there was manifestations here. I was like, the 1 week, I'm not here, all right? Like, I dream that for us. I dream that, because, you know, and manifestations, I had a cool chat with Jay about that, okay? But like, he says, what was that, okay? What should that happen? I was like, man, Jesus often just rocked up at a town, and the moment He set His foot on the soil, stuff went, bah! Okay? Now, for me, a sign that Jesus comes and walks amongst us is when the demons start manifesting. And if it never manifests, like, we're doing something wrong. Like, I want Jesus to come and move in such a way that stuff just starts manifesting, all right? Demonically and spiritually, all right? And so I desire that. I dream that for us. Like, I dream, God, I pray this morning that that person will have an encounter with the Holy Spirit like never before. I dream that. But do you dream that with us? I want to ask you again, what do you dream about for us as a church to move in forward? And I want to challenge you to go home, consider this again, take your quiet time and just say, God, what is it that You want for us in the church? What does it look like? Practically, think about it. Okay, I want the service for that to happen. Like, dream that. It doesn't mean it will always, but I desire that. Often when I lead worship, I say to the guys, I have the whole Sunday in my mind before we get here. Like, as I lead songs in my room, it's like, Lord, I pray when we sing this, that this revelation will drop in that person's heart. And it will see You together in this way. Like, I dream that for us. And I want to encourage you, don't allow me to dream on my own. Dream with me, all right? And then I want to say, so in that dream, what does your role look like? What is your role to play? Because we're a body. I might be the hand at the moment. I don't know what will be that, okay? I'm not the head. Jesus is the head, okay? I might be the hand. You might be the kidney. But trust me, if you lose a kidney, it's hard, All right? And we need everybody to play the role that you, that God has placed you in this church for, to do that. The Bible speaks about us being a body and each member playing its part. And I want to ask you, what is your role in what you're dreaming for us as a church about? Because I can say this confidently, I can't do it. I can't do it. The Lord might get someone else to replace you, which is not ideal, okay? But I can't do what you need to do. The elders can't do what you need to do, all right? The Lord has placed you here for a reason. And what does that look like? And what role do you play for us to go into the fullness of what the Lord has for us? Go dream about that, okay? I hope you guys are writing down these questions. Anyway, and then the last one, and this is probably why no one did it the last time that we had this question. I said, you need to go to someone, and possibly your wife or your husband or a best friend, and ask them, what do you think is blocking me from growing into more of the Lord? And that is where I didn't get much of a response the last time. Okay. And I had that night with my wife where we sat and I asked them, babes, what am I doing that is blocking me from growing into more of the Lord? And you know, it's a funny thing. I knew what she was going to say. Okay. And I was ready to defend it. Okay. And as I was about to speak, I just felt the Lord tell me, don't you dare. Like, listen. Okay. And I hope I'm doing better by now. Okay. But like, I knew what I was doing that was blocking me from growing in the Lord. And sometimes it just sucks hearing it from someone that is so close. And she probably knew what I was going to tell her as well. But you know, as we changed that, I could sense, here we go, I'm moving. There's growing happening. And I want to challenge you, go sit with someone that you trust and ask them, what do you think is blocking me from growing in the Lord? And don't react, okay? And then I want to challenge you, even if you think they're wrong, especially when you think they're wrong, I want to challenge you, take it and go pray about it before the Lord, and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed how we justify things that block our growth. But man, don't you guys want to grow together in the Lord? I want to, but it's just not going to happen. And so just by being here, I want to challenge you, go ask someone, and then we grow together. All right. So that is what I had on my heart. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Grant. Okay. So the thing is, what I feel, I don't know, you guys must say, where's Gary? I think we can respond to this. But I think more, earlier we called for response, and I think we responded. But the connection that I want to make here, and I think Ina had the same word this morning, is many of us have things that you can put out that this morning your need is, it can be financial, it can be, Lord, only if you can resolve that issue. God, if only you can make the situation work better. God, if you, and I think those are things, but the actual need that all of us have this morning is that our eyes need to be open to see the Lord. I'm telling you, if our eyes are opened, even the situation at your work looks different. If your eyes are open to see it in context of how great the Lord is, that situation at work, you have so much more graceful. And I want to pull that together. Is don't make your thing this morning, I need money. We all do. Okay? I need this thing to be sorted out. We all do. But more than that this morning, it's like, God, open our eyes that we can see that you are for us or more than they that's against us. All right? So I want us to pray. And again, I'm gonna call some stuff. Maybe you guys can close your eyes. And I just felt some specific stuff that we can respond to this morning. I want to ask you, if any of these relate to you, I want to ask you to be brave, and you can respond even by standing this morning. Just say, as a practical action, to say, Lord, that thing you're pressing on my heart this morning, I want to react to that. I want to say yes to that. I wanted to ask, the first thing I thought is, we're speaking about seeds being sown here amongst us. And the Lord comes and He wants to speak to hearts. And maybe you are here this morning, it feels like for the first time, there's seed of the Lord being sown into your heart. You're hearing about Jesus and hearing about Christ and His word comes and impacts us. And you're like, man, I've actually never even started the growth process. The reason why we speak about growth, just so you know, is like, the Bible says we need to be born again. And then you become like a spiritual baby. And for me, that was 11 years ago where I said, Lord, I want to accept you. I want to be born again. But then growth needs to happen. And that's where we as a church are. But maybe you're here and you haven't been born again. And you want to say, Lord, this morning, I mean, I don't even know exactly what it will look like, but I want to accept that Jesus died for me on the cross, and that on my own, I am on the way to destruction. I need Jesus. And I want to invite Jesus into my life this morning. And I want to ask, if that is you, and you want to say, God, I don't think I've ever been born again, but I want to be born again and start this growth process. Don't you just quickly want to raise your hand that I can pray with you? Thank you so much. That is amazing. Is there anyone else? I believe there might be more here that want to say, Lord, this morning I need to be born again. All right. Cool. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I just want to pray. Would you mind maybe just raising your hand that we can pray for you? Is it okay? Yeah, cool. Can we get some of the ladies around there? It's like, God, we just want to, is it Margot? Nah. Yes. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you called here this morning. Lord, from darkness to light, Lord, from death to life, Lord, this morning, that this is the greatest miracle that you want to do, Lord, is that she can be born again. And I pray, God, as for so many of us, we had to do it before. This morning, we just celebrate that, what is happening here, God. And we just pray, Jesus, that as of today, that her life will never, ever be the same. I pray that she will today, that her eyes will be opened at the wonder of the cross, Lord. The wonder, Lord, of the great price that you've paid for her, God. And we thank you, God, that even though her sins are great, Lord, your love is greater, God. Your grace is greater. And we just pray that today, Lord, we celebrate with her, born again. And that this growth process with you can start, Lord. Bless you, God. Is there anyone else? I just feel to do it one more time. I just say, man, I've never prayed that prayer, but I want to invite Jesus today and say, God, I want to be born again. Is there anyone else that wants to do that? All right. Cool. If there's maybe someone, I want to challenge you. Come and chat to one of the leaders afterwards. I would love to pray that with you. All right. That's cool, man. And then I think for us, I think there needs to be a choice in our hearts today to say, God, I realize so often I come and I hear your word being sown into my heart. And some of it I receive with gladness and then it withers away the moment I'm challenged on it. Some of it I weighed up against the world and it was like the thorns came and it choked it. But today, God, I want to choose to give you healthy soil that when you speak, it will grow. And if that is you, and maybe you just realize there's things in the past, even over the past couple of weeks, that the Lord spoke, and you haven't acted upon it, and you just want to say, God, that thing, I remember it, I want to do it. Then you just want to stand quickly and say, God, I'll act upon that word which you spoke. And I'm sorry that the thorns came and it smothered it. If there's anyone like that, I want to challenge you to stand with me and say, God, I'll do that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. God, I just want to pray that we will not be those who are ever hearing but not perceiving, Lord. But that we will be those that at your word, it will be coming as softly, Lord, and really easy for us to come into our hearts, Lord. And that it can bring great growth, Lord. So I just pray for whatever these situations are that you spoke and we maybe haven't acted on, God. We just pray today, Lord, that we choose to obey your word, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And then I want to ask, just while they're standing, I want to ask if there's some of you who say, God, I want my soil, my heart, to be good soil. That whenever you speak, that I can hear you easily and obey God and go for it. If you desire a rich soil, then you want to stand, I'm standing for that as well, Lord, that it can produce a rich harvest, God. We bless you, Lord. All right, all right. Yeah, maybe Shaunae, if the band can come up, and I think we can respond to the Lord in a song. But I want to pray for this. Lord, I just pray, God, that as we respond today, I pray again that our eyes will be opened in wonder, God. In wonder, Lord, of your great mercy for us, God. And so we pray just as we respond and say, God, we desire good soil when you speak, Lord, that we will not be those who your word comes in and out, but we don't do anything about it. I just pray, God, that really we position ourselves today, God.